The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
And good morning to you. It's Oliver Callan here in for Ryan. All this week, he'll be back on the Late Late on Friday and back in this seat next Monday. But in the meantime, I'm here at your service until the little hand reaches 10 o'clock. And you can join the chats on text 51551 and on email ryan@rte.ie. So we have officially passed the spring equinox. So there is now more daylight than darkness each day, literally. At least, if not metaphorically, I suppose. And the time is changing next weekend, which will bring even brighter, longer evenings. The clocks will be moving forward by an hour, which is probably about the only thing that will help speed up the vaccine rollout. Although rollout may not be the best word. Okay. We're hopeful anyway. The weather was beautiful at the weekend. Up in the countryside, from what I could see, though, there wasn't a huge amount of people out in the sunshine. I was kind of expecting to see a lot more, and I was doing my, you know, the you feel a little cage when you do the loops, but we actually should thank GA Pitches. They've created walking loops around most of the pitches around the country, so they're great. They've saved us, but I thought there'd be more people out. You do feel a bit caged on the ninth loop, and you know you've said hello to the person already. He's like, hello, hello, and there they are again. It's like, God, hi, hello. And then by the fifth loop, you're the one saying hello, hello, and they're just blanking you. And you're going, okay, just said hello and hello. No answer at all. And also the first episode of Callan's Kicks, that was out of the weekend, and you can listen back on the podcast on Spotify and the RTÉ Radio Player and all that. I got a very nice message from an unexpected fan of the show, the British ambassador to Ireland, Mr. Paul Johnston, who's relatively new to the job. He took over the gig about 6 to 8 months ago, I think. And I remember his predecessor, Robin Barnett, which is a great name. He used to say the show was how he kind of learned about and also kept up to date with Irish political happenings here, and also in divining the Irish view of matters in the UK, which was very worrying. But we welcome such distinguished company, and it's going to be some season, isn't it? I mean, even at the weekend, the most cautious political correspondents out there were suggesting that maybe Leo Varadkar's difficulty could be Simon Harris's opportunity. You never know, like, you never know what's around any twist under. It's never boring anyway, or indeed relevant to the priorities in people's lives, shall we say. And there's no doubt it was one of those weekends where the frustrations are really spilling over now. You had that infamous clip from the NPHET briefing where Dr. Ronan Glynn was asking everyone to do a little bit more than they're doing. It was watched 1 million times over the weekend on the RTÉ News Twitter feed. 1 million streams, and I'd say all of them through gritted teeth. And we should say, as I heard on Brendan O'Connor's panel yesterday, that most of that really long briefing, he was praising people for being compliant and doing the right thing, but it's just a little soundbite got him. Not that he's withdrawn it or anything like that since, but it really, the people who were usually, and were always very measured and calm on social media, were starting to crack. Brezzy was asking in a tweet, is there any psychology representation on NPHET? If so, surely they must be telling them that this messaging needs to stop. People are broken enough now. Marion Keyes, who's brought so much joy to everyone, said, we're trapped in hell, aren't we? All of us. There's going to be 500 cases a day until the end of time, and they'll keep extending level 5 into infinity, and the airports will stay open, but none of us can ever leave. And that's kind of the mystery. And there might be some hope and relief for people because the hotel quarantine thing, that starts this week. And the Irish Independent has a very interesting front page. It's all about, as you heard on Morning Ireland, NPHET experts wanted to quarantine everyone entering the country. Indeed, they came up with the idea, first of all, in May of last year. And it's kind of the mystery that people are going, what is it? Because we've heard Professor Luke O'Neill saying, if we get the vaccines out, we can go back to normal life. We can have full matches, cinemas, theatres and pubs, once we're prepared to sacrifice international travel to avoid the variants. But we still have flights open for essential travel, even though the data from the last 3 weeks at least has shown people saying that the majority of people flying into Ireland say they're doing it for holidays and visits. And it's hard to get your head around it, really. And I wonder why no one is talking about contact tracing as much anymore, because we don't seem to know how the virus is spreading. We're hearing a lot of doom and gloom, but oh, there's more cases, there's another surge coming, but where is it coming from? And the phrase that drives me mad at the moment is community transmission, because the translation, when you dig into it, is we have no idea where they're coming from. So it's just, say, community transmission. But anyway, as I say, the hotel quarantine thing, that's happening. It currently applies to 33 countries from such places as Lesotho, Malawi, and, you know, mostly countries that don't even fly directly to Ireland, but they still have that. They have the power now to add other countries. I think Austria is the only European country on the mandatory quarantine list. But there may be more, because there is a surge apparently happening in mainland Europe. Where will they be quarantining? Well, according to Philip Ryan and Fiona Dillon on The Independent, this TIFCO hotel group apparently will have the system to operate. Will include the Clontarf Castle Hotel. Not a bad place, would it be, for 10 days? And also the, I saw it written, I think it's inside I saw it, was it just the Hard Rock Hotel is even going to be one of the suggested ones as well. So that's going to be very interesting. But anyway, we leave that there. I've actually been watching Israel like a hawk, because that's the place of hope, isn't it? They've vaccinated now 60% of their people, and they've been partying like a non-stop June bank holiday for the past 2 weeks. And although they have restrictions, apparently they're not being observed, not being policed. So they've just, there was even a description, I remember reading a report where people were sharing starters or hugging each other. They're just partying nonstop, clinking glasses, doing all the stuff that are banned for us and feel alien to us at the moment. So watch out for what's happening there. That'll give us a lift. What did give us a lift at the weekend, of course, was the rugby. And as well as saving Andy Farrell, who was kind of cloud over his head at the beginning of it, there's calls for Eddie Jones's head in England, which is not something we'll be too sad about, given the horrible stuff he has said about Ireland over the years. I mean, like, that doesn't even begin to describe some of it. So that's good. Pascal Donoghue was tweeting after the first half of the match. That was the best 40 minutes of 2021. And a lot of people going, yeah. Of course, it was on Twitter, so we invited a lot of scorn from people. It's a brave thing for politicians to go on the tweet machine, but he hit the nail on the head with that one. What else can we look forward to? Yes, well, maybe there might be feelings of trepidation about this one, but we play Serbia in the first World Cup qualifier on Wednesday night, Stephen Kenny and the lads. And then the Women's Six Nations, of course, that begins in April. And there is talk from the middle of April that the GA might get back to training, although competitive action is still a big mystery along with everything else. So it was a rough weekend. I spent most of watching The Sopranos, which is a lovely place to go. It's my second watching, even though it just mostly makes me want to eat pasta and drink red wine, which kind of, you know, happened as well. And so many great one-liners, none of which we can say at 9 in the morning, or even at 9 in the evening, actually, now do you think of it. But anyway, and Line of Duty has started, which is a fascinating, never seen an episode of it, but I'm feeling compelled to watch it now. They're 6 seasons in, mixed reviews to say the least. The Times Ireland edition, forget sucking diesel, this opener is stuck in second gear. It's a 2-star review saying there's great potential, but last night's episode was hard to follow, as if taking your loyalties for granted. And it was lots of toe-curling lines like, we can keep it on the DL only if we have a CHIS on the MIT. I do the voice and I have no idea what they sound like. But Adrian Dunbar apparently says, now we're sucking diesel quite a lot, which is a good Ulster phrase. And that made its way into all of the reviews. It's The Guardian, 4-star review. They really liked it. Bent copper bashers prepared to suck diesel. Oh, so I can see. So the Brits, this is kind of a new phrase for them over the Line of Duty lifetime. And in the Irish Independent, Pat Stacey says, a compelling start, though it lacked the gut punch shocks of some Line of Duty season openers. So he's kind of giving it good, but nearly good. Actually, I was reading a thing in the New York Times, which is about, and it reminds me of, well, this is why I'm watching Sopranos, because it's a show I remember so much about, probably because I watched it week after week and then it would come back the next year. Whereas the binge watching since Breaking Bad and everything has made it, I don't remember anything about that show. I think I watched 5 seasons in about a week or something, and I remember bits and pieces, but not a huge amount. And So they're talking about some of the streaming services are trying to get back slow TV again. Disney is following the weekly model with its new Marvel series, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Amazon Prime did the same thing with 3-4 episodes of The Boys, which was a great show, season one of that, kind of the anti-Marvel series. And finding... or Love, Victor is the show on Stars, which is kind of the grown-up version of Disney Plus. They're putting out it episodically week after week, and apparently it's just a better way. But I think it's just a trick to kind of keep you stuck on the streaming service, because they've known now that we kind of buy a streaming service for a month, watch everything, use up the free month, the free days, and then you don't subscribe. So they're kind of leaking it out. That's really what's going on. Now, what's going on in the world of the Kerry walrus, which is a very important story? Remember Valentia Island? They spotted the walrus and then everyone was joking about fungi and so on. Yes. Well, apparently the Kerry walrus is doing more travel than any of us, because the giant walrus was spotted in Wales, says the Irish Examiner. People were shocked, of course, delighted last week, but it showed up. The Welsh Marine Life Rescue said there was a sighting, so it was very unusual. They're usually up around Scotland. This is very far south. Don't know what's going on. They couldn't probably understand what the walrus was saying, because it has clearly a Kerry accent now at this stage. I think my favourite tweet on that actually was the comedian Michael Fry on Twitter, because one scientist said he probably fell asleep on an iceberg and floated off and woke up in Valentia Island. And he said, this is the walrus equivalent of falling asleep on the Nightlink bus and waking up in Kells. It's Michael Fry anyway. He's from Navan, I think. What's in the water, Navan, that they... So many comedians. And actually, if you're looking for a distraction and a bit of a fun time, Michael Fry on the Twitter machine is the place to go. Lots of cool stuff, millions of views. He basically picks kind of popular clips that have gone viral and turns them into the music as they would be sung by an indie band, except some of the songs are actually better than real indie bands, which anyway, that says its own thing. But what else is happening? Handshakes, remember those? And everyone says, yeah, no, that was gross. God, that stuff. Oh, would you shake hands? Well, apparently the handshake is going to survive COVID. A new book tells us, and the book is called The Handshake, A Gripping History. Very pun friendly. An evolutionary biologist at the University College in London says the handshake is biological, is so embedded in our DNA that it will return. It's just gone in temporary lockdown. And some interesting things here. Our prehistoric ancestors left handprints on cave walls as if they wanted to reach through time towards us. The Greeks shook hands on the battlefield. The Romans did so to mark marriages, saying it's totally ingrained in us. What about these alternative gestures we do? Well, this expert says, no, that's not going to happen. The elbow thing in particular says it's too aggressive. It goes against the grain of intuitive friendliness. That's why when people offer an elbow or a fist, they tend to accompany these gestures with a little laugh. Oh, yes, you do that, don't you? As if to reassure each other that these superficially aggressive displays are offered in a spirit of camaraderie. So, apparently it's going to come back for those reasons. I'm surprised. Long time. And I'm not really worried about the handshake at the moment. I'm kind of thinking, can we go outside the county or something? Just do anything? Cinema? No? Anything like that? Some of the other... is this affecting you, by the way? A third of households apparently now directly affected by the limit on drink... on driving tests. There are no tests for drink driving during lockdown. That's a survey according to the AA. So yeah, there's been a huge backlog, but apparently a third of households are hit by that, because if you're of a certain age and you're thinking, well, I want to get to drive the car, and once I get the license, full license, over a certain length of time, because insurers, they'll pick any reason to not give you the, or to hike up the price of your premiums and so on. But huge problems in the passport office, isn't it? I was starting to get a little bit worried, because I noticed my passport was up in June and I was going, I need to get that done. And I think, where am I going to be going anyway? And then I don't think you can get your passport renewed anyway, even if you wanted to at the minute. That's a problem. 51551 is the text. ryan@rte.ie is the email. What's happening? Somebody, yes, very happy with the Callan's Kicks of the weekend. Joe Biden and Mary Lou Sketches. Thank you very much. Yeah, very good. Yeah, that's my Instagram. Yeah, my shinfluencers. Yeah, lovely. hopefully when the vaccinations are fully implemented, we can see some daylight at the end of the tunnel. Literally. It's all very frustrating for the medics. We all need to knuckle down and keep the fourth surge at bay. Now, you can get into an argument about, because in Europe they're calling it the third wave, because our third wave. And actually, they were calling the one at Christmas the second wave. It gets very confusing. We're all now on different surge timelines. So they're having the fourth one. We've just had kind of like a surge, a constant one. Spanish flu 100 years ago. No Zoom, no telly, no internet, no online shopping, not even a whim, not even a win at the rugby. And yet we think we're in hell. I get it's not easy, but we have to be positive, says David. We're trying our best. I think that's the point I was making, that Marion Keyes is, and Brezzy, they're the ultimate positive people, because he campaigns about mental health. They know about it. And when you see them getting frustrated, and they're asking questions as well, you do wonder. We need people to step up to the plate and step up to the cliche and, you know, shoulder to the wheel and keep going and be happy. But yeah, I get it. I mean, I read history and I go, people had a dreadful time, but it's all relative, isn't it? Somebody with no ability to do a luxury, you might consider now, like going out for a meal, they might feel almost an equal pain that someone did 100 years ago. It is that kind of that relativity that goes around. CJ Stander, of course, we have to mention him. He will be sorely missed. He's a wonderful ambassador for rugby and a very humble man. A huge loss to not only rugby but Ireland. Yes, he's off back to South Africa. And it was a fitting, affectionate and emotional farewell to him, wasn't it, on Sunday? And you know, if we turn from tears, and I think a lot of people are probably crying for CJ Stander and also for themselves and for the world at the minute. It was kind of like any of those excuses to just let out those frustrations. That's probably why I was watching Tony Soprano nodding along going, yeah, yeah, you know, a bit of a punch up. Yeah, yeah, no problem at all. Metaphor and only in the world of fiction, we should say, hasten to add. Welcome to the hotel quarantine these days, says Mike in Rathfarnham. Yeah, well, we'll be tempted to go to the Hotel California, but we won't just for now. And of course, think of them down in Sydney, burnt to a crisp barely a year ago. And some of the same places over the fires are now flooded. And at this story caught my eye, The Guardian. Swarms of spiders fleeing into their homes and up legs to escape the New South Wales floods. Apparently a dam burst at the weekend in Sydney, releasing 500 gigalitres, which is the equivalent of the entire volume of Sydney Harbour, onto that landscape. And, well, apparently the spiders thing, what a description this is. Look away now if you're a little bit creepish and about spiders, because this guy, this Australian, said that he'd spotted what looked like a brown carpet running towards him. Just load tons and tons of spiders running away from the floodwaters. Skinks, which is a type of lizard, ants and basically every insect, crickets, all fleeing. This person's husband said, they said their husband were videoing it, because this woman very cleverly said weren't going near it. And while he was standing still, he had spiders climbing up his legs. God. There were also some cows in trouble in the floodwaters, and some of the surfers went out to take advantage of the big... not surge, I don't want to think of that word, the big swell, that's it, the swell from the from the flooding and the heavy rainfall. But they ended up going out to rescue cows, which would make a very interesting episode of Home and Away, wouldn't it? But there you go. Anyway, that's all the crack in Sydney, which is devastating. Thankfully, no one has died. About 30,000 people were had to be moved from their, or affected in their homes, I suppose you should say. I was reading about a young couple actually who had to cancel their wedding in Australia, where everything was happening because they've got the zero COVID thing, and their wedding got cancelled, and then they saw their house lifting off the foundations and flooding through the floodwaters. Is there no joy? Is there no joy to be had in the world? Well, we'll try some. We'll try it together, will we? 51551 is the text, so give us anything positive you can and have a dance as much as you can in your kitchen. This is an Irish band. Love them. It doesn't get old. Doesn't get old. That's Inhaler and Ice Cream Sundae, a Dublin band. Great old indie band. That's lovely and upbeat. 51551 is the text. Lots of people on about the passports. Hi, Oliver. I renewed my passport online a couple of weeks ago. Thought nothing of it. Didn't expect it back for months. Received it in the post 3 days later. Couldn't believe it. Online is so handy if you're renewing. You can renew a passport online, says the other texter. You can upload the photo from your phone very easy. Do you need a public services card to do that? Because I had to get a new driver's license not so long ago. And the only way you could do it online is if you had the public services card, which was in trouble with the Data Protection Commissioner, because they said you should only need that for social welfare. But if you want to do stuff online, they make you get the public services card, and then it goes on and on and on. So I just did it in person, and you had to book your slot now because of COVID. But it was very efficient, and they just posted it out to me. Someone says, I heard about problems with passport renewal, so I wanted to get my application in the queue for when service resumed. I applied online at 1 p.m. on a Wednesday. It was in my letterbox at 7:30 a.m. on a Thursday. All of 18 and a half hours later, says Yvonne in Castlebar. Well, maybe there's extra special services for Mayo people, you know, because you are special people, very special people. They also leave the country a lot, sadly, in Mayo. But anyway, what else were we watching at the weekend? I want to mention the flight attendant because I saw a lot of chatter about that, which was getting a 5-star review here in various newspapers. And Sheila O'Flanagan, you know, the author, she was tweeting, I watched the first episode of The Flight Attendant mainly just to see the inside of a plane, which is very, very true. She was also tweeting that, Vec, I have to go empty the dishwasher again. And I had that feeling as well. It's like, if you probably added up all the hours you've spent at the dishwasher in the last year, we probably spent 3 months at the dishwasher. I mean, it's just constantly, there's only two of us in the house, it's just constantly going. And I hand wash pots and pans and glasses and all that. More the passport. Everyone's very happy with the passport office, it seems, this morning. Record times, apparently. So there you go. You're looking, by the way, The Sopranos just made you eat pasta and drink wine. I ended up, after all the series, wearing sweatpants, a dressing gown, going to get my newspaper from the shop and extorting the store owner. TV has a strong influence, says Dave and Bray, who's getting into the spirit of the dark Sopranos humour. Now, we've a very interesting interview and I want to encourage you all to listen to us after the break. We're going to be talking to Derek Scally in Berlin. He's the author of a new book. His first book has literally kind of changed how I've come to look and consider the history of the state, and it's one that challenges us how to look at the dark past and to just talk about and have a think about. So come back to us after the break. And welcome back. There's just an enormous reaction to Derek Scally there. A brilliant man. I always felt this bit was missing about us in that society. Just what we need to reflect on, says Rebecca. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you have to own the good and the bad of your own history, don't you? And it would make us a better people if we can reflect honestly on it. Best interview ever, says Breed in Killarney. Really great description of us as a nation. So huge praise there for Derek. I can't wait to read this book on Irish Catholicism. It seems fair. Shows both sides of a church I love, but it's full of flawed human beings. Thank you so much. It's heartbreaking to hear the Irish media only highlighting the negative all the time, says Fiona in Cork. And that's the vibe from people who are still faithful to, well, have the faith and aren't signed up to the institution. So they're worshipping on their own terms as opposed to being told what to do. And it's a fascinating book from that point of view, because I thought I was reading A Hatchet Job, but it's just a very measured history. It's conversational. And I honestly believe that whatever your view is approaching this entire history, it will probably change after you read it. We've got so much, we may have to come back to it tomorrow. Time to Wake Up is the reality of how we observe and live now and learn from past mistakes. Yes, there's some very interesting things from Marie Collins about that deference and saying maybe this is why we're tolerating health scandals all the time in the same way, that there's a rise of anger. People say something should be done and then we assume it's all dealt with and we move along and maybe just not asking questions. I'll just do this last one before we go. Just tuning into exceptionally interesting guest. Wow, so refreshing to hear a calm, broad-minded chat regarding the church, the point that people's experience of the church is unique to everyone. And while contemptible crimes were done, it's interesting that there still exists great faith, which brings huge comfort. We're perturbed in these times that numbers of funerals are so restricted. I hope we can be more appreciative and generous to our parish priests who seek to have to continually apologise for past crimes. I feel sad for the clergy who almost have to apologise for their existence. Great interview, thanks, says Margaret in Cork. Okay, so the best Catholics in the world, that's out in the very handsomely titled Sandy Cove imprint of Penguin Ireland. So highly recommended. It's just gone 10 o'clock. So Claire Byrne is next. We'll talk again tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.